He said, over that university, he says, they're living like animals. They're living like animals. Now, people like this, you don't need to be told that. We know what goes around and all about us today. People are fearing for their lives, and because of disease and corruption that's rampant everywhere. And we know that it comes out of the teaching is false, and the teaching of a turned in among us, away from God and the things of God. But you know, in these last and closing days, when the darkness comes in, we need to be awakened that we're going to get down to business with the Word of God and put the Lord Jesus Christ in His proper place and give Him the preeminent place in our lives and seek to live for the honor and the glory of our God. Now there you have this king you wonder now. What does God have in mind? Taking this man out of his palace and putting him there in the field. But you know, in the palace, he had leisure, a time for rest. Now rest is a good thing. A little bit of some leisure would be good for you. I wouldn't be wise to be a workaholic and always on the go. But, you know, this idea of just having leisure, that's the day we're living in today. We're living in a world that's marked where people are pleasure mad. That's what you see in 2 Timothy chapter 3. In the last days, men shall be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And when pleasure comes in and the leisure comes in, you can be sure of this. It's going to be linked up with all kinds of sin and all kinds of departure and variety of ways of departing from the ways of God and the Word of God. And people just continue run off in their departure away from God. And you know, besides that, in this leisure that the man had in his palace, but you know, he didn't have leisure, he flourished. He flourished in his palace. There was a prosperity that king rejoiced in. Prosperity. Food for all. Everyone's looked after. Everyone's needs is attended to. And you know, in the world today, much dispute about high unemployment, great poverty, many people that are hungry, and on it goes. But you know, amongst it all, there's a great prosperity. There is a flourishing as well. And when man flourishes and prospers the way they are, as it is in the days there of Nebuchadnezzar, why, there is that spirit of ease of, I don't need God. I can just get on fine without even giving a thought to a God. A man goes on in his pride and his sin and his wickedness, living without God. All right then, you want to denounce God, live as if there was no God, then God comes in and shows His power. Takes that man from his throne and puts him into the field. You're going to stay there for 7 years. And he roams about in that field for 7 years. Now this could have a little application here. After the last days of the Gentile rule, the 70th week here, the period of 7 years, and during that 7 years, the beat, you know, that'll be some period of time. If you think of what they have over there in Belgium, they have a computer, they call it the beast. You know, you can call it the beast if you want, but that's not the beast that's to come. The beast that's to come is more like recognized in this beast here. There's a ten horn. Then a little horn coming up, and you've already three of the horns. This is more like the beast, the real character of the man of sin that's going to rule in those period of 7 years. And you know, it's going to be a kingdom that's going to be marked by a beast-like reign Now, we can hardly understand or think that is. But I don't know how friendly you are with animals, or how well you get along with animals. But you know, you might think, well, I don't mind cats, I like canaries, and I like pigeons, and so on. But you know, you just think of some wild animal, and they get on the rampage, and they make life difficult for people at all times. This is the idea of the kingdom that's to come. It's going to be a ferocious type of king. It's going to be like a mad beast in his treatment towards the people. Now, you can go back to the Roman Empire under the Iron Age here, and you know very well that that would take you to the Roman Empire that under Nero, you know, very, very severe. The brutality and the killing and the heat under that kingdom of Rome was very, very, it was desperate. Nero apparently as a child growing up, he spent his time with bigger insects and just plucking their wings off. And then maybe their legs. They had no feeling towards doing that to insects. Say, well, so what? So what? You know, he grew up to be a man. And then when he became a man, he just treated human beings much the same way as what? And as a tyrant would, oppress them and threw them to the lions, burn them out to sea, and treated them with such disrespect and unkindness and brutality and murder came in as never before. The Iron Kingdom, well, you know, in the last 7 years that are to come, that are spelled out for us, and taking up the main part of the book of Revelation, the tribulation period, and the great tribulation period of the things that are going to fall on this ungodly sea, after the church is taken home to heaven, why, it's going to be the reign of the beast, a period of 7 years, so 7 times, pass over it. And you know, that's what is in store. And that may be just pictured for us a little bit, in this thing, roaming about as a beast in the field, eating ox like eating grass like an ox. But you know, the time came, 7 years came, and went, passed away. You know, that tree that was cut down, beat the root of the ground, put a band of iron and grass around it, marking it out. I believe that it was to be completely destroyed. Nobody was willing to root that tree. Nobody was willing to destroy it. Put the band of iron and grass around it. No doubt, because God says, I'm going to come back to that root. I'll come back to that. And you see, the Bible says, there is hope for a tree. If it is cut down, then it will start again. Well, when the 7 years were failed, God took Nebuchadnezzar and brought him up. And his kingdom was restored to him again. And his parents and men came to him. And they reached out to him. You know, this is an experience in the life of Nebuchadnezzar that meant the conversion of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, there are similarities in the story of Nebuchadnezzar from chapter 4 here, and also in the life of the Apostle Paul. Remember how Saul of Tarsus went out and he persecuted the church? He was a real persecutor of those that believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have a Nebuchadnezzar, a persecutor of the people of God. How many took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, threw them into the burning fiery furnace with such anger and heat? Well, you know, that's what the Apostle Paul did, a persecutor of the people of God. But you know, when Saul of Tarsus was rapping on the road to Damascus, A voice from heaven reached him. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And you know, this man Nebuchadnezzar was met with the same thing. A voice from heaven stopped him along his way. And soon there was a similarity there. But you know as well, when the story was done, all went everywhere, proclaiming the gospel, telling people how he got saved, how he was preaching the gospel. And you know, King Nebuchadnezzar doing the same thing. He takes and writes this document here. He says, this document is to go throughout all my kingdom, and all my kingdom will know that I have now a changed man, a converted man. I now extol and exalt the God of heaven. Well, what a wonderful scene in the life of the King Nebuchadnezzar, who was a blasphemer and a persecutor, an injurious person, just like the Apostle Paul. But you know, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Well, wonderful thing to see the change in this man. And Nebuchadnezzar, at that time, then restored to his kingdom, and we have here this man restored. And this is reason. You know, he was like an insane man. When he occupied the place in the field of the beast, he was like a man that's insane. Now, we don't maybe have much to do to think of dealing much with people that are insane. But it's a terrible illness to have a psychiatric problem whereby the mind is gone. And it's a real thing. And that was just seen the way that Nebuchadnezzar was. But it said here that he returned unto him. He became a sane person again. His reason returned unto me. And for the glory of my kingdom, and mine honor and greatness, returned unto me, and my conscience, Lord, to so on. Then he sighed, Nebuchadnezzar, praised and extolled and honored the King of heaven. His works are truth, his ways and judgments are those that the rock and pride he is able to obey. Anything marks out Nebuchadnezzar before he was saved, use that word for him, a saved, is the fact that he was a very proud man. He may not have known that God gave him the kingdom. He may have felt that I conquered the world, and this is what I have done. This is what I have built up. And always the idea is, he's exalting himself. Now you'll find that right down to the end of man's day. If man is pushing himself up, self-exaltation. You know, it's something that we always need to be on our guard about. For a man ought not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think soberly about himself. And then when it comes to thinking about it of the other person, I esteem the others more highly than yourself. I acknowledge him as being my superior. I take the lower place. Now you see, Nebuchadnezzar wasn't used to that. He just couldn't conform to that. And he wasn't going to conform to that. Alright, God comes in, puts his hand on this king. Alright, you won't humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that you might be exalted in due time. And God comes in, and he humbles Nebuchadnezzar, and puts him in the field as a beast. My friends, none of us will want to be humbled by God, but each one of us should take an interest in what God says in his word. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And you see the example in our Lord Jesus Christ. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross, wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. You know, and God will take the basis of men and raise them up and give them a high position. It doesn't matter who he does that for. That man may be lifted up with pride. God is just as quick able to remove him as he is to put him in place. That's why each one of us needs to be conscious and careful and seek to walk humbly with our law. Now, when I think of Nebuchadnezzar, what we have here concerning him, you would think that his experience, the proclamation that he made, would stay with the kingdom for years to come, that others might learn from his a conversion experience. But you know, people are slow learners. They just don't catch on. And we need to see, keep the sword of thy blessed ways, the Holy Lamb of God. Because we just need to be so slow to catch on. And it'll only be in the next chapter that we'll see that Belshazzar, he could have read this document. He could have known all about Nebuchadnezzar and probably did. How that God gave him the kingdom, allowed him to reign, how God brought him down, put him back in the palace and so on. But you know, Belshazzar never learned. He never learned by the documents. He had to go through the light and raise himself up again as a man of Christ. Well, there are many things here you can see that weigh upon our minds when you think of what's here. Now, in the last days here, over here in the last 7 years, there will be taking up. It's all difficult days to lie before in the world. Think of the severe severity that's going to come in and last for a period of 7 years. That's the time. Now, may God bless his word and pardon his presence. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you for thy good word. We look at the future. We wonder sometimes as you go over the scriptures, as we would in a portion like this tonight, of all the details that has gone into in this chapter regarding this king. Surely he was a great man. Yet he was lifted up with pride. Now it is tonight. Wisdom them in and deal with him. Teach them a lesson. The way that thou hast dealt with him. We look to gracious God that we might be taught. For my word, we want humbly with thee. For a little time we're not down here. Surely it points to a future day when Babylon, the city, the political system, the religious system, is all going to be dealt with and brought low. O gracious God, as we think of these things, teach us to number our deeds, that we may apply our hearts into wisdom. Surely the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. We cast upon thee and ask thy help. We do give thanks unto thee for this testimony to consider here this evening. What a remarkable thing it is for a man of great power to be delivered from the wrath of God. So we do give thanks and ask about Christ and thy blessing. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Let me sing, please, in closing, number 78. Number 78, please. Number 78. Lord willing, tomorrow night, chapter 5 of the book of Daniel, well-known portion, Belshazzar's feast, and finish the changing of the kingdoms, chapter number 5. How good is the God we adore, our faithful, unchangeable friend, He loveth as great as his power, and knows neither measure nor end. Number 78.